Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
All righty. Derek Anderson starting for the Bills. Jeremy is fired up about that.
I am. I set an over-under yesterday.
I'll take in the under.
Well, the house is going to make money on this one, I think. We'll see. Well, I get Sal's his prediction. 202.5 yards over-under.
Season high is 203.
I know. Yeah, yesterday, my wife's grandmother's...
let's bring in Sal.
Yeah, my wife's Sal's, grandmother's funeral, and after it, you know, we're kind of waiting for the news, who's going to be the starting quarterback. And as soon as it's Derek Anderson, I start polling the room a little bit. So what's a good over-under? And the first few numbers I heard were 120, 150.
Okay. I would get in the neighborhood of like 170.
But if you put it at 120, everybody's going to take the over. I was trying to find where people would split. And 202.5 is what I settled on. And my Twitter poll is about 55-45. So maybe the perfect over-under might be 193.
Yeah, something not with a 2 as the first number, but not too low. Sal is on the AT&T hotline, and he's going to take us behind the scenes with the Bills, which is brought to you by Outlet Liquor for the lowest everyday prices across the state. Shop Outlet Liquor. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What do you think, over or under?
I'd go over.
Over 202?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's not a high bar to clear. It sounds like a lot because we're Buffalo, and that's a pen.
It is
a
high
last,
bar.
His last three starts, 278, 277, 230.
There you go.
And that was,
I mean, Brock Osweiler threw for what, like 380 against the Bears?
Yeah.
So
I understand, but they are averaging 123 a game.
Now, he did. Now, if you go back to 2010 when he had his most extensive starting experience, or at least the latest most extensive, because the other three games I just referenced were all scattered since then. He had a 93, but that doesn't look like he was in the game as much. But then anyway, it goes 196, 295, 322, 179, 234. I still think you're talking, you know, over 200 here.
Yeah. And that's the question then becomes, how are people going to feel if that does happen? That Derek Anderson can come in with 1 week of prep, basically, maybe 2 weeks of prep, and throw, what if he does throw for 250? You know, does that give you a little more faith that the offense, that the weapons, granted, they still need work, but that they can be used somehow, or would that kind of scare you off of the idea that the other two quarterbacks haven't been able to use that to that level yet?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about this, Jeremy, and there will be a segment of fans who are going to basically say, I can't believe you have this rookie who cannot do that. Like, you have this guy who hasn't even been in football, and this rookie can't even come close to that. And you'll have another segment of fans that are going to say, well, he's a rookie, and he should be struggling, and I'm okay with it. And I don't expect him to be, you know, doing that consistently. I still like what I see from him. So I think you're going to get a mixed bag of that. I think more than anything, if he does that and the offense seems to just be more on schedule, right? I mean, they get to 320, 330 yards even. I think if they win the game especially, people will just start feeling, hey, maybe we have a shot this season to start making some waves here, making some hay, and let's keep Derek Anderson in and see where this season goes. So I think you'll just overall get a more feeling of optimism if that were to happen, especially if they win the game.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to expect out of Anderson, but if they have a moderately competent offense, they will compete in most of their games if their defense is what it looks like it is, which is a top five, top three unit in the league.
I totally agree with that. I mean, yeah, obviously they have the Patriots coming up on a Monday night after that. I know we're a week away or 2 weeks away, I guess, from that game. But like as of right now, I'm like, whew, that Patriots offense against the Bills defense, that's looking pretty like a juicy matchup. How do they really match up against an offense like that with Tom Brady? But then, you know, you look around the rest of the schedule and what you just said is completely right, which is you don't have world beater offenses, the Bears, the Jets, the Jags. I mean, the Dolphins had what they did, and the Jets again. I mean, after the Patriots, the next five games are against teams that do not have the litany of quarterbacks they have faced this year and they will face over the next couple of weeks. You're talking the difference between Brady, Luck, Rodgers, Cousins, and Rivers, and then you go to Trubisky, albeit he's played well, but Trubisky, Darnold, Bortles, maybe Osweiler. This is a big difference.
We are with Sal, 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. What's the biggest concern, in your opinion, with Derek Anderson? Is it the mental side, the physical side? Is it the playbook? Is it timing with receivers? Can he hold up? What do you think is at the top of the list?
I think playbook for me, how much of it is available to them? You know, I mean, if they get in a situation where they need to do some things, are they going to have confidence that they can, you know, turn the page and say, yeah, we're confident we can do this. It's third and 12. And we got to get a first down late in the game. You know, what do we have in our playbook? That he's done. Can they be a little more creative? Can they do things, screenplays and different formations? You know, all that stuff we talked about with formations and personnel substitutions and packages that Brian Daboll really wanted to do going into this year. And we've seen some of that. Is he ready to handle that right now? You know, the verbiage in the huddle combined with all that. Look, he's a 13-year veteran. He's played 12 years. This is his 13th year. He's been in a lot of systems, so it's no problem actually doing that. It's just so quick here to have to get in there and do all of that. So he's got to have a crash course, and a lot of it, you know, as guys will tell you, football's football. There's a lot of things that are very similar from one system to another. You just have to figure out how it's termed a little differently sometimes. So I think that's the biggest challenge for me, Howard. But I also think there's a challenge in the timing with receivers because he has not been with these guys. You know, when we went out there to practice yesterday, they were doing a lot. It seemed like they were right away on top of, we're throwing. We got a whole running backs, receivers, tight ends. They went to that stuff earlier than I can remember in other practices because I think they needed to do that.
Yeah.
And they needed to get him up to speed working with these guys, both playbook-wise and timing-wise. So that is a concern with me, timing. You know, he's had some nice games with Kelvin Benjamin. And, you know, that'd be a guy that if you could get the timing down, maybe you start to get something from Kelvin Benjamin here. But that timing, to me, is crucial.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because, it's a natural conclusion. You know, we had Patrick DeMarco on last hour, and I brought up the timing question, too, because that's right. That's why you have training camp and OTAs and all this stuff.
Right.
So you get to know the receivers, get to know the quarterback. Quarterback gets to know the receivers, blah, blah, blah. And there is that prior relationship with Kelvin Benjamin. And I thought, wouldn't it almost be a natural conclusion to say somewhat of a comfort zone would lead to more targets? He would look Kelvin Benjamin's way.
So what did DeMarco say?
Oh, I didn't ask him specifically about Benjamin.
Okay.
I just asked him about what it's like from the backs and the tight ends and the wide receivers perspective, trying to get timing down with a guy who you really haven't spent any time with.
Yeah, I do think, in fact, one of the things that Mike's talked about a little bit this week is that Kelvin Benjamin's probably a nice play in fantasy to pick up for something cheap, especially a daily league, because he could wind up seeing more targets. And I think that's true, and I'll apply that to real football. I think that he could very well have an uptick in what we've seen from him, and we all know we need that from Kelvin Benjamin, from what we've seen so far from him. And maybe he gets a little bit re-enthused and re-energized. I went back and watched a couple of Derek Anderson games. I watched the Monday night game he started, his last real start, not the one where he played one play for Cam Newton. And right away, the first drive, he targeted Kelvin three times, I think it was.
And there was
good chemistry there. You know, I came away from that, by the way, watching Derek Anderson. I watched him in that Monday night game, his last start against the Bucs was a Monday nighter a couple years ago. And he reminded me of, I want to say this the right way, because he reminded me a lot of Ryan Fitzpatrick with his philosophy, the way he plays. But he's got a much stronger arm than Fitz. And that is, he threw some balls, you're like, yeah, that's what I want my quarterback to do. Like, come on, that guy seems covered. Like, Greg Olsen seemed covered, but he threw it in a spot where, like, yes, Greg Olsen came down with that because he trusted him to make a play. But then he'll make another throw later where you're like, yeah, you just can't make that throw. You can't throw that ball into that spot and just think that everything's going to work out okay. So in that mentality, he's a gunslinger. Because he will give his guys an opportunity. He has a very strong arm. And I think, you know, doing that at least might at least result in this offense being able to move the ball a little bit instead of being safe and bailing out and running and not throwing the ball.
I wonder what his mindset will be, Sal. Will he be a gunslinger who's got nothing to lose, who might have been that way a couple years ago in his career? Or will he feel pressure to say, like, listen, I just got here, and everybody in this room has been working really hard, and especially that defense. So the one thing I'm not going to do is show up as the new guy and try to do too much.
Yeah, I wonder too, Jeremy, and what are they telling him? Like, hey, we have a really good defense. Our philosophy here is, you know, they want him to play within the structure of what the team is, right? I mean, our philosophy here is we're going to shut down the other team, and we just need to get to 17 to 20 points, and we should be okay here. Maybe if the game starts going a little haywire, we can do some different things, but let's stay within the confines of what we do. I don't think so. I think when you bring in a guy who's been in the league this long, if you're going to bring him in from being out on the street and say, you know, come in and run our offense, I think you kind of tell him to do what he's got to do, right? You got to be the player you are, be the player you've been. We wouldn't have brought you in here if that's the case. But, you know, the game will dictate that. If they get a 10-0 lead early, you know, maybe they just dial it down a little bit and say, hey, you know, we don't need to start chucking the ball up there. We need to just play a conservative game and, you know, make sure we get out of here with a win and move on to Monday night.
Was he asked... how seriously, when the Bills called, okay, and said, hey, we want you to come join us, how seriously did he think he could actually start? I'm guessing even if he did, it wouldn't have been like this quick, but did he think seriously, oh, yeah, fine, I'll mentor the guys, I'll work out, whatever, or did he really think, you know, Josh Allen's a rookie, Nathan Peterman, you know what, I'm going to take this job because I feel like I could start soon.
I mean, I don't know. You have to ask him.
Oh, no one asked him that. I thought.
I mean, not really. Like, okay. Yeah, I mean, his mindset was, if I remember right, I have to go back and look at the transcripts. I mean, that he was brought here to, you know, help out, and he said to us when he first signed and we interviewed him, and we were in a scrum, and he said, look, I mean, he's here to play. I mean, he's going to go out there and he's going to compete, and he wants to, you know, his job is to be a football player on the team, and that means if he has to play, he has to play, and that was before all this happened. So. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, you'd have to ask him, but my assumption is he came here knowing that there's always a possibility he could play, and he better be ready for that.
And the running game, you know, would certainly help Derek Anderson, you know, if they had a good running game on Sunday. It has not been that good. Its season average is 3.6 yards per carry, which isn't really good at all. Can you give me your assessment of where it's at? Is it getting better? Do you feel like there's hope still for the running game? If so, why?
Look, I mean, they're struggling, and I think a big part of the reason is because they don't have the threat passing the ball that you want. You know, I think that was a big reason why they made the switch last year from Tyrod Taylor to Nathan Peterman. For right or for wrong, they thought that teams, just the way teams were playing them guys, was they aren't going to be able to run the football. They can't throw the football that well, so we're just going to load up and make sure we stop the run. And I see a little bit of that this year. I don't think teams are really respecting the Bills' passing game that much, mm-hmm. which, you know, they have no reason to be quite frank right now. And I think that's why. But there are signs where, and look, a lot of it's LeSean McCoy. He just makes guys miss sometimes in a phone booth, right? I mean, there's a guy there and boom, he's gone. But there are signs where I think that, you know, when they start going a little bit, you're like, okay, that's what you want. It's more about quantity versus quality. I think the more they stick to it, the more success they have. And, you know, you're going to have negative plays once in a while. But you go back to that Tennessee game. You know, they didn't abandon the run. They stuck to it. And then they started to get some yards when they needed to in crucial situations. They brought in Chris Ivory. And that was, you know, really important for them. So I think that's more where it is for me. I'll say this. I think the offensive line's played better the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. It's not an area that we're saying, oh, my God, they've been really bad. There was a sack J.J. Watt had where Josh Allen – probably could have escaped a little bit earlier. Sure, you know, Watt was beating his guy, but he was also going, he was on the ground. He was kind of bear crawling to him, grabbing him. So I think the pass protection's been a little better. I do think the offensive line's played better. But to answer your question, Howard, I think more of it really more lies in the fact that the Bills are just kind of a one-dimensional team right now because teams don't respect the passing game that much.
803-0550 to join us. Sal is on the AT&T hotline. Jack, you're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys, man. I don't mean no disrespect, man, but y'all some real nice media guys here in Buffalo because – first of all, this quarterback that they brought in, I don't believe he started probably in the last 7 or 8 years. I think his record is something like well below 40% in winning of the games that he did start. Now, I'm not going to blame him, but we don't look at this coaching staff because, you know what, he inherited a top-5 running team, a defense that was already pretty good, got rid of everybody. He's buying himself all kind of time saying, hey, trust the process. But he's bringing in all his Carolina ties to us, and it's like he's not replacing anyone. I mean, I hate to say it, but this may Tyrod looked good. I mean, this is terrible, man. And then the last thing I just want to say, man, is I bet the under on every single game.
All right.
All right, Jeff, thanks.
I'm never going to score over 12 points a game. One game.
Hey, they got 13 the other day or against Tennessee. So, you know, they had 13 against Houston.
Yeah, and in terms of being nice to Derek Anderson, I think people are just reasonable in what to expect. I mean, we're joking about an over-under of 202 yards. That's not very high.
No.
But it's high for the Bills. So, I don't know. I don't know what you expect us to say. They've gone to a third quarterback. He's the fourth quarterback that's been on the roster this year, if you count A.J. McCarron in training camp. You know, I guess I just don't know
and
what
he started three games in 7 years, in the last 7 years.
Yeah,
which
no one's really expecting him to do much at all. Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Here's what you're saying.
I think people are look at this is the situation they're in, and we're just talking about who the player is. Yeah. So,
the situation is a disaster.
But I am nice. I am a nice guy, just so the caller knows. I mean,
But I think what he's getting to is, look, the quarterback situation is a disaster. I mean, and you can absolutely discuss about them mismanaging it and screwing this whole thing up the way it's played out. They played Josh Allen too early. They should have had a better backup plan. They should have had a better veteran. Peterman shouldn't have been starting. He shouldn't have been your only option in Josh Allen. They screwed this whole thing up.
I think we've gone over that many
times. Yeah, but I think that's where Jack was headed. I think that was the point he was trying to make.
Well, then that person just listened to the show today for the first time ever.
He might be driving through the area. I mean, he just, you know, right. He said you guys are nice media in Buffalo. Maybe he's from out of town and he was driving through the area.
Sure.
So, yeah. Anyway, I think that's what the point was. All right, how many points will it take to win Sunday, Capaccio? The defense is playing really well, okay? We know that. Actually, I keep saying Darnold and the Jets put up 42 against the Colts last week. How many points?
Didn't they have a couple, at least one defensive touchdown?
Oh, was there one? Okay,
yeah.
I'll go back and check it.
Luck this year.
Oh, that's right. There was an interception that was kind of bounced around and picked off out of midair. Right.
He's having a very good year, but he is also turning the ball over. Like their stats this year, he's on pace for maybe 4,700 yards and 40 touchdowns and 20 picks or something like that. I mean, I'll find the stat because I saw...
Well, you know what the big issue with them is? They have a lot of drops. They have a lot of drops from their receivers.
Yep.
That's a big talking point, Indy. I've been kind of monitoring them and following some of their beat reporters, and they've had a lot of talks about drops. And they're going to get T.Y. Hilton back maybe this week. He was a surprise full participant in practice yesterday. So, you know, a lot of people thought he'd be out again another week. They've had a lot of injuries at wide receiver. They're pulling guys off the street. They signed Dontrell Inman this week. You're right, Jeremy. Andrew Luck is playing very well. He's also, by the way, on pace to like basically throw so much that he may never have an arm again hanging from his shoulder because he is throwing the ball a ton every single game, and that's how they have to win. Here's their point total the last few weeks. 34, 24, 34. They had a 16. They had a 21, 23. I think that you might have to get to 22, 23 give yourself a legit shot.
Right.
But the way this defense is playing, I wouldn't be surprised if they could hold this team to, you know, 20, 21 points. So, yeah.
Okay. I was thinking 21. You know, if you can get into the way the defense is playing, I think if the Bills offense can get to 21, I think they can win the football game on Sunday. Now, the question is, can they get to 21?
What we're talking about is how many points does the defense give up where we think the defense is responsible?
Right.
You know, like if they lose 31-28, you're going to be upset that how come the defense didn't show up or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's a unit that you've come to expect a lot from, and the offense is a unit you don't expect too much from. So
288 attempts for Andrew Luck so far. How many games did they play? They played six games.
And he's been without
a number. That's 48 a game.
Yeah, number of his weapons. Hilton might come back this week, maybe. He's missed the last two.
He practiced fully yesterday.
He practiced fully yesterday.
And Jack Doyle has been out, but if Hilton does go, it'll be interesting to see if they continue to involve. There's a new guy, Chester Rogers, who's been getting double-digit targets, and if... That's always the worry for me, Sal. This defense, you know, if Trey White's going to lock up Hilton, if that's what they decide to do, they've been a little bit of musical chairs at the other corner position. Ryan Davis, right, and a couple different guys.
Ryan Lewis.
Sorry, but they've done a nice job. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think I'm at the point where I'm ready to kind of just, you know, forget trust the process. I just trust the defense. You know, the defense has been very, very good, and there are a bunch of weapons over there. Not elite weapons, but Luck can use what he's got at his disposal pretty well.
I'm looking at, here we go, pass attempts. Let's see this. So single season record for pass attempts in a year in the NFL is 727 by Matt Stafford in 2012. And right now, Andrew Luck is on pace for 768.
Yikes.
He is on pace to shatter the all-time record for pass attempts in a season. Only one person, Stafford, has ever thrown the ball more than 700 times in one season.
And coming off
and he's on the pace an injury, you know? Closer to 800.
Yeah, off the injury that he had, you know, and they were worried about
him throwing. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, they are struggling running the football, and he's their best player. I mean, look, the Colts are a great case study of you try to have your best player win the game. Now, they also are another case study in, hey, everybody who just wants to throw the ball all the time, here's this team that does it with this really good quarterback. They're 1-5. Yeah. So other parts of the game do matter. So, I mean, this is a guy, if you can at least limit him, you're going to win the game.
How was the Bills injury report yesterday? Anything to track?
No, Trent Murphy is limited right now. Well, he came out of the game. He had a bit of an ankle, so, you know, but nothing to worry about right now. We'll see today where he goes with that. And Tywan Jones and Josh Allen were the only ones who didn't practice with any injury-related stuff. Tywan with a neck, and Lorenzo and Kyle both had their normal rest days.
With Josh Allen, McDermott said no surgery, right? He did confirm that at this point they don't think there's any surgery needed?
Correct. He said sprained elbow. No surgery. Okay. So, you know, that's really good news.
Time frame? Did he give any kind of time frame?
No, he just said take it. He's terming him week by week. You know, if you go by the reports from medical people out there who've talked about this, they generally say that this is at least a 3-4 week injury generally, but we don't know. I mean, we don't know the severity of it. We don't know, you know, what the rehab involves. So he did not give a timetable. He just said week to week. But he said there's a chance he could play again this year. Now, you could take that. Bulldog took that as saying, there's a chance he could play. I mean, there's a chance he might not play medically. I don't know. I don't take it that way. I think it meaning that, sure, like we're hopeful to get him back. There's a chance he could play, but we're not going to put any timetables on it.
Okay. All right. We will talk to you tomorrow for Football Friday.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Sal.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.